Track 9, Celebrity Spotlight. And now it's over to Jill to tell the fascinating life story of one of cinema's favourite stars.
I just flew in from the Windy City. The Windy City is mighty pretty, but they ain't got what we got. No siree. They got shacks up to 7 stories. Never see any morning glories but a step from our doorway. We got them for free. They've got those minstrel shows, pretty ladies in the big chapeaus, private lawns, public parks. For the sake of civic virtue, they've got fountains there that squirt you.
Doris Day, the quintessential all-American girl, continues to be revered by her fans, while the media still celebrate her as an actress and singer with a legendary Hollywood girl-next-door image. I always felt that making a living wasn't the easiest thing in the world, and I decided I was going straight ahead and try to be as uncomplicated as possible. The important thing in life is just living and loving. However, Doris Day's personal life, faced with steely resolve, was the very antithesis of how most fans perceived her superstardom. Born Doris Mary Ann von Kappelhoff in 1922 in Cincinnati, Ohio, her parents came from German stock. Her father was a music teacher, choirmaster, and church organist and loved classical music. Her mother was an outgoing woman who enjoyed hillbilly music. Doris had 2 brothers, Richard, who died before she was born, and Paul, who was a few years older. She was named after silent movie actress Doris Kenyon, whom her mother admired. Growing up in the 1930s, Doris was attracted to music and dance, eventually forming part of a dance duo, which performed locally until a car she was riding in was struck by a train, crushing her right leg, a severe injury that curtailed her ambition to become a professional dancer. However, while recovering, Doris gained a vocal education by listening to the radio, becoming a fan of the embryonic records of upcoming Ella Fitzgerald. Her mother encouraged her to take singing lessons. At age 15, Doris began performing locally, and while working with local band leader Barney Rapp, she adopted the name Day, after Rapp suggested Kappelhoff was too long and cumbersome for marquee appeal. After leaving Rapp, Doris worked with a number of other band leaders, including Bob Crosby, and was eventually hired by Les Brown. She had 2 stints with Brown's band, with marriage to trombonist Al Jordan, birth of her son Terry, and subsequent divorce in between.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag, got my reservation. Spend each dime I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation, I long to hear that.
She was every band leader's dream, a vocalist who had natural talent, a keen regard for the lyrics, and an attractive appearance, said Les Brown. Doris went solo with a contract from Columbia Records in 1947. Her radio work with Bob Hope and later Frank Sinatra led to separation and eventually divorce from second husband George Wheedler. After performing at a Hollywood party where she gave an emotional rendition of Embraceable You, Jules Stein arranged for a screen test. This led to her first movie, Romance on the High Seas. The following 3 years saw films such as Tea for Two, Lullaby of Broadway, On Moonlight Bay, By the Light of the Silvery Moon, and musical western Calamity Jane.
Now I shout it from the highest hills, even though the golden daffodils At last, my heart's an open door, and my secret love's no secret anymore.
Doris married her agent, Marty Melcher, in 1951, who handled her career as her producer and decided not to renew her contract with Warner Brothers after the completion of Young at Heart in 1954. As a freelance actress, Doris's range of roles increased. She followed Love Me or Leave Me with Alfred Hitchcock's The Man Who Knew Too Much, 1956, which teamed her with James Stewart. On set, Doris asked Hitch why he wasn't giving her any direction. "Because you're doing everything just right," he said.
"When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be.
Doris's recording of Que Sera Sera, Whatever Will Be, was used as an innocuous plot device in the film and won an Oscar for Best Song. A huge success with The Pajama Game in 1957 led to starring roles in comedies with Clark Gable, Jack Lemmon, Richard Widmark and David Niven. Then, in 1959, Doris paired with Rock Hudson in Pillow Talk for Universal. This role gained her a Best Actress Oscar nomination and a Golden Globe Award and began a run of sophisticated romantic comedies. The on-screen chemistry between Doris and Hudson led to two more films, Lover Come Back and Send Me No Flowers. That touch of mink with Cary Grant lacked the same screen chemistry that was so apparent with Hudson. But the glow was back when she teamed up with James Garner in The Thrill of It All and Move Over Darling.
Our lips shouldn't touch.
Move over, darling.
I like it too much.
Move over, darling.
That gleam in your eyes is no big surprise anymore. 'Cause you fooled me before. I'm all in a spin. To give in.
Move over, darling.
And though it's not right, I'm too weak to fight it somehow. 'Cause I want you right now.
Doris was voted top box office female star for four straight years during the early 60s and was among the top 10 for 10 straight years. By the late 1960s, in the midst of the sexual revolution, critics and comics dubbed her the world's oldest virgin. She slipped from the list of top box office stars, last appearing in the top 10 with The Glass Bottom Boat. Among the roles she declined was that of Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate, a role that eventually went to Anne Bancroft. In her memoirs, Day wrote that she rejected the part on moral grounds, finding the script vulgar and offensive. When her Columbia Records contract ended in 1967, an independent album project entitled The Love Album not only concluded her recording career, but was unissued for more than 27 years. It is widely agreed that when she recorded The Love Album, she was at the peak of her vocal prowess.
I see your lips, the summer kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear old winter song. But I miss you most of all, my darling, when autumn leaves begin to fall.
The sudden death of Marty Melcher in 1968 was catalyst to Doris discovering he and business partner Jerry Rosenthal had squandered her earnings, leaving her deeply in debt. Years were taking up suing Rosenthal in the courts, with a large civil judgment eventually awarding Doris over $26 million. After legal fees, she received only a fraction of that amount. Doris also discovered Melcher had committed her to a television sitcom series. Despite grave misgivings and a dislike of television, the ultimate need to clear her debts convinced Doris to go ahead with The Doris Day Show, netting her a Golden Globe in 1969 for Best Actress in a Television Series. In 1985, Day hosted her own television talk show, Doris Day's Best Friends, on the Christian Broadcasting Network. The channel cancelled the show after 26 episodes, despite the worldwide publicity that it had received due to an appearance by her old friend and co-star Rock Hudson, who was showing the first public symptoms of AIDS, including severe weight loss and fatigue. He died from the disease later that year. Day later said, "He was very sick, but I just brushed that off, and I came out, put my arms around him and said, 'Am I glad to see you?'" In 2011, at age 89, Doris became the oldest living recording artist to chart on UK's top 10, with new material featured on her album, My Heart. The album was dedicated to her son, Terry, who had passed away in 2004, and who produced and co-wrote some of the featured songs. Doris donated the proceeds to the Doris Day Animal Foundation. Doris was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President George W. Bush. At the time, she said, "I am deeply grateful to the President and to my country. To come from Cincinnati, Ohio, for God's sakes, then to go to Hollywood and to get this kind of tribute from my country. I love this country so much." She turned down an Honorary Academy Award and Kennedy Center Honors Award because accepting these in person would not be possible. However, she did receive a Grammy for Lifetime Achievement in February 2008. Her last appearance at such a public event was to pick up her Cecil B. DeMille Career Achievement Award at the Golden Globe ceremony in 1989, which was presented by her Carmel, California neighbour and friend, Clint Eastwood. When Doris left the Hollywood spotlight in the late 1970s, Doris became a founding member of the grassroots organisation Actors and Others for Animals and literally went door to door to rescue pets in distress and promote spay, neuter to reduce the euthanasia of millions of homeless pets in shelters everywhere. To make an even bigger impact, she later founded her own Doris Day Animal Foundation in 1978. Then known as the Doris Day Pet Foundation, which continues to carry on Doris's legacy to make this a better world for the animals. Doris experienced great loss at times, but through her faith, positivity, and a determined will to pick herself up and go on, she led a rewarding and fulfilling life that continues to inspire fans throughout the world.
Dreams to
Thank you, Jill. I'm always interested to hear about the lives and careers of people who have brought us such entertainment over the years, and Doris Day was no exception.